Blog Talk Radio.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to married co-authors Dan Zarella and Allison Zarella about their new project, the Facebook Marketing Book. Stick around. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of Facebook entrepreneurs who are all thumbs in the new intermediate capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida.
Hey, did you know that you can listen to the latest Mr. Media on your phone with the Stitcher app? Stitcher is smart radio for your smartphone. Mr. Media is on demand and on the go with Stitcher. Download Stitcher for your phone today. Get the free download at Stitcher.com. That's Stitcher.com.
There are now more than 500 million Facebook users in the world, and I'm willing to bet that you're one of them. For individual users, Facebook, you know, that online website the movie The Social Network is based on, is a place to look up everyone you've ever encountered from the time you were born until that moment you bought a pecan twisty at Panera Bread about 30 minutes ago. And stop looking at me like that. And that is what makes Facebook a dream come true for marketers and brand managers who understand even a little bit about how social media works. The internet has always been the great equalizer between big business and small. Your website's homepage is the same size as Walmart's, if you think about it, and Facebook is no different. Now, what sets the haves and have-nots apart is knowledge and technical skill. Now, to help us better understand how to mine the commercial potential of Facebook, I've invited Dan Zarella and Allison Zarella, yep, they're married, to talk with us about their new release, the Facebook Marketing Book. And both come to us with solid online credentials. Dan is the social media scientist for HubSpot.com, a place you can go for all kinds of website analysis and assistance. Allison is an interactive copywriter and social media consultant. Allison and Dan, welcome to Mr. Media.
Awesome. Thanks for having us.
Hey, nice to see you guys. Thanks for the wave. We appreciate that. All right, let's start with the important stuff first. Allison, how did Dan get his name listed on the book first?
Dan wrote the social media marketing book from O'Reilly about a year before this one, and so he was, you know, the existing author, the veteran, and so he kind of got to go first, even though alphabetically it should be me, which I have heard a lot of people mention. But
and by order of the book written, amount of the book written, Allison should be first too, but I got lucky.
God, I don't
Next time.
How long have you guys been married?
3 months.
Oh. And you let him get away with that after 3 months of marriage? I mean, that's just crazy. I've been married almost 23 years, and I wouldn't have gotten away with that for 1 minute in 23 years. So, okay. All right. Well, let's get down to more serious stuff. Why has Facebook emerged? I mean, not just for the social network, but as a magnet for brand marketing, too. I mean, no one predicted that. No one anticipated that 5 years ago.
So websites are great. A lot of times when you go to a website, you already have a brand in mind, you want to buy something, and you're going out and you're looking for it. Facebook is a place that you go to talk to your friends, chat about whatever you bought at Panera that day, and so it's a way to interrupt in something that they're already doing. They really are excited to hang out with their friends, and so you can connect with the brand in a different way that's more personal and fun, but that said, it really needs to be fun. You don't want to be selling so much on Facebook, but it's just a new avenue for brands and marketers to try. It's also a lot faster than a lot of websites, so if you try something on Tuesday morning and it's not working, you can switch to something else almost immediately. If it is, then you can capitalize on that, keep it going, and carry it over into your website or a commercial brochure or anything that you want.
Is it effective marketing because it is more casual than places that you expect to be marketed to?
I think so. I think a lot of people will like a brand because they feel a connection to it, because they really like it and they're excited to say, like, oh, I love the Gap or something like that. And they like that they can, you know, for most brands, if they're doing it right, they can chat with them basically and say, you know, oh, I love that shirt you had. That movie was awesome. I think you guys should add this to your list of products, things like that. And it feels really exciting that you can say, oh, you know, I talked to somebody at that brand that I love. And you don't get that with a website. With a website, it's very hands-off. Hmm.
Dan, I felt like I cut you off. You were going to say something.
And, yeah, I mean, I was just going to say, I think anytime you have, you know, 500 million people in one place, the marketers are going to weasel their way into it. You know, I mean, if it was a country, it'd be, what, the third biggest country, bigger than the U.S., 300 million or so, but smaller than China and India. And anytime you have that many people essentially together in one place, that many fish in one barrel, it's only a matter of time before the marketers get into it. And then, you know, to speak to the point that Allison was talking about, where you can interact with a brand that you like, you know, the average Facebook user has 130 fans, right? I mean, and so I've given presentations in front of groups of much smaller people, of much fewer amounts of people, and I'm still definitely performing them on stage. Everybody, every time somebody's doing something on Facebook, they're essentially performing, right, in front of a group of 130 friends. And so anytime they interact with a brand, they are expressing themselves with that brand, right? I don't really, I mean, there probably is, but I can't, I would imagine, you know, Mercedes has many more people liking it than Acne Cream does, right? And so the ability to sort of perform with a brand and to sort of express yourself with a brand is something that, that really hasn't been possible, you know, with any other form of media prior to social media.
Well, okay, I'm going to use your analogy. Comparing Mercedes and Acne Cream, use that as the analogy, but instead comparing Facebook and MySpace. Okay. What I'm wondering is, you know, there's no discussion to be had. MySpace has clearly lost tremendous ground over the years to Facebook. It was once the 800-pound gorilla in the room. Rupert Murdoch paid a ton for it. I saw today that it may be close to being sold, and I imagine it'll be pennies on the dollar. How is it that Facebook has succeeded as this giant marketing machine, and MySpace didn't? What does it need to do? And it's a little far afield, but I think it's important to people who are going to be marketing on Facebook. What does it need to continue to do to stay that relevant to its supporters and followers?
Facebook is really cautious, which can be annoying at times, but I think that's what has kept them going. MySpace let every user, every brand have total control of everything they did. They could add all kinds of crappy code to their pages, make it play different music, sing, have all these ugly backgrounds. It would flash lights at you. And Facebook, you can't customize to that extent, which as a user, I sometimes feel hindered by. But as a marketer, you realize that every step that they take and every action and functionality that they add is really, it's been tested, it's been tried, and there's a good reason behind it. And so for a marketing perspective, you really want to listen to Facebook and sort of trust them and do what they say. It started as there were profiles and there was no place for marketers really. And then they added pages. If you were a brand that had been using a profile, now pages are preferred, you would get shut down. So you want to follow Facebook's lead and stick with what they say is best. That's really what has made them so successful.
Yeah, I think especially early on, one of the really smart things that Facebook did, speaking from a sort of, I guess, you know, sociological or raw marketing point of view, is that when they only allowed in, you know, a certain number of colleges and then college students eventually, they really focused on gaining critical mass with this very small group of people and making it very worthwhile to that group of folks before they ever expanded and let everybody in. So, you know, like Allison went to one of the first colleges that was on Facebook, and I think she has an experience of Facebook that from the beginning, essentially everybody who was important was on it for her, everybody she was going to socialize was on it with her, and so that she had a really strong connection to it from the beginning. MySpace was always just sort of, you know, if I want to go listen to some crappy band and have my browser crash 15 times, right? Whereas Facebook has always been, Allison loves to tell a story, maybe I'm telling it for her, which is a little weird, but about, you know, using Facebook and being really into Facebook when it was only poking and and photo stalking.
Yeah, my roommate in college, and that's literally all you could do was just look at photos and see what everybody did, even though you were probably at the party, and poke and just go, oh my God, did you see who joined today? And now there's so much more. There's Farmville, that you can, you know, create your own custom tabs, things like that. But it was literally, it was photos and just seeing who was there. And with every little step that they made, it got cooler. People are really hesitant to, like, you know, with the new profiles, they're hesitant at first. But, you know, another month or so, everyone will come around and love how the photos are displayed at the top now.
One more question before we take a quick break for commercial sponsors. And it's this. Do you have any concern that a year or two from now, that it will still be considered effective, or do you have any concern that, you know, we'll look back at this as sad marketing in retrospect, that it will not have held up as well as we think it's going to right now?
So I think generally, when I'm asked that question more generally about things like Twitter or, you know, blogging or whatever, my answer is, you know, microblogging or social media is here to stay. Maybe it's not Twitter tomorrow. As time goes on, the more I think about that with Facebook specifically, I really don't think that Facebook is going to, I'm confident that at least, you know, 5 years out, Facebook will be the platform for social media marketing. I think that they're smart folks there now. They have a ton of money. They're profitable now. And I think the idea that social media marketing is going to be, you know, fad marketing in the future, there are certain areas where it definitely will be. I think Quora is one of them. No offense to any, you know, viewers who are really into Quora. It's cool right now, but, you know.
The 15 minutes, I think, is ticking on Quora already.
Yeah, hopefully. but I think, you know, with Facebook, the thing is, there's a very mainstream audience there, and that's the thing. The mainstream isn't quite as fickle as the geeks are with a site like Quora, or even maybe Twitter, honestly. You know, the mainstream tends to when they get into something and it fills a category in their mind, I think they tend to stick to it, and I think Facebook has got it.
Yeah, it's going to be part of, you know, a media mix. Right now it's sort of segregated. As time goes on, it'll just become, you know, and then what are we going to do on Facebook? There's countless TV ads you see now that at the end they've got their Facebook URL instead of their website URL. It's becoming, you know, expected, and that's one of the things we talk about in the book, is that if you're not on Facebook, it's a real disconnect, especially for younger target or younger audience, but it's becoming the same as a website. Why are you not online? Why are you not on Facebook? And so it's going to become even bigger, I would think, or more mainstream.
Well, let's take a quick break. This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to, and hopefully watching, the Mr. Media Radio interview with Dan Zarella and Allison Zarella, the married co-authors of the Facebook marketing book. And we'll be right back after this from Quora. What? That can't be right. Okay, well, we'll be back, and hopefully we'll be back.
Your donation to the American Red Cross can now help support the efforts of the Japanese Red Cross. In response to the March 2011 earthquake and tsunami in Japan, and given the widespread damage and enormous humanitarian needs, the Japanese Red Cross indicated that it would accept financial support from the American Red Cross for its role in providing first aid, emotional support, and relief items to those displaced. Those who want to help can go to www.redcross.org and donate to Japan Earthquake and Pacific Tsunami. People can also text Red Cross to 90999 to make a $10 donation to help those affected by this disaster. Your gift to the American Red Cross will support the disaster relief efforts to help those affected by the earthquake in Japan and the tsunami throughout the Pacific. Financial contributions to the American Red Cross are tax deductible. On those rare occasions when donations exceed American Red Cross expenses for a specific disaster, contributions are used to prepare for and serve victims of other disasters.
This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to and hopefully watching the Mr. Media Radio interview with Dan Zarella and Allison Zarella, the married co-authors of the Facebook marketing book. I was kind of curious to ask both of you how you incorporate Facebook marketing in your day jobs.
So at HubSpot, we do a bunch with Facebook. We have a Facebook group, or a page, rather, excuse me, group. Oh, man, that's a huge faux pas. So we have a Facebook page. It's got a whole bunch of fans that we regularly update, and that's kind of rolled in, essentially. It's like a spoke in our social media marketing plan when we're launching new blog posts, new content, whatever it goes onto the page. We also do some questions and things like that. We've also played with Facebook ads. If you read the book, you know, I think you kind of get the impression that while I think Facebook ads can be useful for certain things in certain situations, I don't think it's the best place to start.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have some Facebook ads. Beyond that, yeah, that's the Facebook marketing book there. You know, beyond that, I don't think we're doing anything super, super innovative. But that, I think this is one of the things with the keys with Facebook, is that you don't need to necessarily break the mold. You just kind of need to be there and engage with the audiences there.
Mm. All right. So we've talked in kind of general terms to this point. What's the first step in setting up a marketing presence on Facebook? And I'm guessing, because I actually have read the book, it's not entirely guessing, but it's an individual profile followed then by a Facebook page. Is that about right?
Yep. Facebook has some weird back entry way that you can set up a page without a profile, but I wouldn't recommend trying to find it. It's a pain. And it's important that you have a profile before you set up a page, because you really want to know what a profile looks like, how it works, so that when you're, you know, working on your page marketing, you understand from a user perspective how they'll interact through that profile. But definitely you want to go with a page, not a group, as Dan misspoke earlier.
Do you think Facebook will ever let companies jump straight to pages without requiring some individual in the organization to set up a profile? I mean, maybe they need like the business equivalent of Twitter, of a Twitter verified account, something like that?
Yeah, I think they will. About a month ago, they mistakenly rolled out some new page features that they very quickly broke the entire site in order to take back, which allowed you to, as a profile and as a regular person, as a user, to log into different page accounts as either the page admin, so as, you know, HubSpot, or as a person, you know, as Dan. And right now, if you are the admin of a page, you can only talk as that brand. You don't have that personal interaction. So I think what they're moving forward to is the option to talk as the brand or the person, which would sort of bypass that step of a profile. Right now, on a page, you can't actually talk to somebody privately the way you can as a person or a profile through like an private message, sort of like Facebook email. And that's another thing that I think they're going to roll out to marketers who admin a page, because it's important, especially if you're resolving customer service issues. You don't always want to do everything on the open Facebook wall. You need to take that offline and get their private information.
I think that would be a great step. I know, just as low level as I operate Mr. Media as a business, you know, I've got my individual page, which was the stepping stone, especially once I hit 5,000 friends. Hi, friends. People I don't know, and jump to the Facebook page for Mr. Media. I personally, I would love to be able to separate the two, because I'd like to just interact with people for Mr. Media on the Mr. Media page and go back to having my own personal account. I know it drives my family crazy that I've got 5,000 friends that they're part of, and the only other thing is the Mr. Media page, and the two should be separate. They shouldn't have to interact. And being able to message your customers directly, it seems kind of obvious. Maybe they just haven't figured out the technical end of that. But
I think they're afraid that marketers will spam their customers or something. They're waiting for a level of trust. And so I think with time, that might be something that Facebook does roll out once they have a better understanding and, I guess, expectation that all of the brands and companies that are on Facebook are using it appropriately. So their terms of service will likely change to go along with this new inbox message.
I've set up a profile and I've jumped to having a Facebook page. What can I do with it? I mean, to look at it, it just, the page, it looks like, I don't know. What can I do with it special to make it stand out?
It's not that much to look at right away. You really want to customize it and take advantage of the much smaller than MySpace options that Facebook lets you have. You've got a page icon, which can be whatever size you want. Preferably, you want to do the 200 by 200, which will crop perfectly to your little thumbnail, which shows up in newsfeed. Or you can go for the longer one, which is 600 long by 200 across pixels. And that will give you more real estate to play with when people actually look at your page. You want to fill out your info and fill out everything. If there's a space for it and it makes sense for your brand, you really want to fill it out and take the time. That's really what sets apart the, successful small or large businesses from the sort of fly-by-night, good-for-a-week-and-then-gone pages, is taking the time to set it up correctly, check for grammar and punctuation, and really explain why your page is there and what people should do with it. You're going to get an SEO benefit out of that. So you're going to be showing up in Google, Bing search results when you explain all the products and services you have, your about, your mission statement, those kind of things. People might not actually look at them, but it will help them find you through either Facebook or Google search traffic.
You talk in the book about FBML, the Facebook markup language, and I saw that and I go, oh, good, you're going to explain to me how to do that. Now, You don't go into that in the book. I know that's rather complicated, but that's kind of my question: is why, that's one of those things that does sort of separate the small business from the big business. The small business probably doesn't have anyone on staff that has the vaguest idea what FBML is, the big business can afford to hire someone to do that. I said earlier that the big equalizer in the internet is that your front page, your on the web, is the same size as Walmart's, but by having this type of markup language, it does separate the big from the small in some ways.
Yeah, when you get into customization, that is where brands start to really show the difference between a large budget and dedicated, you know, person or a whole staff for Facebook. But there are a lot of things that you can teach yourself or get done pretty cheaply and easily if you are willing to read a book or a whole bunch of websites and find out about it, or find, you know, a small consultant who can help you create a basic tab. FBML is Facebook markup language. It's very similar to HTML. If you have the smallest coding ability, you will be able to do a basic one that's got, you know, an image, some text, a few clickable links, maybe even a form. I don't know how to code or program anything. If you ask me to make something work, I wouldn't be able to do it, but I can do basic FBML tabs that will look nice, that if you, especially if you're a smaller local business, will be exactly what you want, just to give your page that one custom graphic that will be way better than your competitors. It's not going to be the cool interactive functionality that Walmart can pull off.
So, guys, what I'm wondering is, with group Facebook groups and other things, people go and they sign up, or Facebook pages, people, they sign up for these things on the day that it seems exciting and interesting to them. And I know for myself, a lot of times you sign up for something and you never go back to it. And so I'm wondering, are there any statistics yet, or is it too soon to know whether people, you know, once they sign up for the Walmart page or the Starbucks coffee page or you know, the Boston Celtics page, that they actually go back consistently, or is there a big drop-off? Kind of like when people sign up for Twitter, lots of people signed up for Twitter, and then a lot of people never use it again. Is it that type of thing?
Yeah.
You're the stats man.
Yeah, so I don't know of any statistics like that off the top of my head. I feel like there was just an announcement that Facebook is going to, like, 1.something million accounts were going to die, which was essentially, it was inactive accounts were going to be deleted over the next year or so. As far as, you know, people going dormant on a page like, I think unlikes happen. Every time I've looked at the Insights, which is a Facebook, you know, page analytics platform, unlikes tend to be pretty low. And I think the reason for that is the only thing that would really make somebody unlike something is if you were spamming their feed with a ton of updates. And if you're doing that and you're annoying a lot of people, your edge rank score, that is the score that they give to how popular a specific status update is going to be really, really low. And so it's not going to show up in a lot of people's feed. So, you know, especially when you compare Facebook to Twitter on stuff like this, Facebook, again, like we were saying before, you know, with getting that good critical mass early on in smaller communities, Facebook has done a really good job of, you know, avoiding that sort of zombie, you know, dead account problem that Twitter has absolutely has an issue
with. I wasn't thinking so much of dead accounts so much as, you know, for example, the Mr. Media Interviews has a page, a Facebook page, and hundreds of people have signed up, you know, is liking it, or they've signed up, whatever the connection is, they like the page, or they, you know, a lot of them, they come and they check things out for a couple of days, but then they never come back. They never click unlike. I mean, I can't think that I've lost very many people who've clicked unlike, and the number has dropped. But, you know, maybe they just never come back and look at it again. That's what I was kind of getting at.
It's a fine line. So what Dan's saying is, if you are posting 10 times a day, you're sort of spamming that newsfeed, and that's what might make someone click unlike. On the flip side, you need to post regularly enough that you're staying in the newsfeed so that they have a reason to come back and engage with the page. If they like your brand and you never post anything, then they're going to forget about you and they're not going to come back. So it's around that line of posting, you know, once a day or maybe even just 3 or 4 times a week, but making sure that you're showing up consistently without having 10 posts in the span of half an hour.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that isn't perhaps, you know, brought up enough in this conversation, elsewhere at least, is again, the more activity that happens on a specific status update, the more people that like it, a specific status, or the more people that comment on that post or whatever, the more it's going to be shown in your fans' feeds, right? And so, you know, maybe the issue is you're posting regularly, you're doing interesting things, but there's not a ton of activity in each individual update. So people who have liked your page, you know, have forgotten about it because it's never appearing in their feed because there isn't a ton of activity. So if maybe if you did stuff like ask a question or say, you know, like this if you like it, or you know, what you know, anything that can kind of encourage activity on a specific update will get that update shown in users' feeds.
Now, in the book, you talk about profiles. You talk a little bit about groups, as you did here. You talk about pages. Let's say that someone's done all that. Is it and they're happy with it? Is that the point to give Facebook ads a try?
Facebook ads. I'm not a huge fan of Facebook ads, but there is a place for them. My main focus is that you need to get your page to a great spot before you start advertising for it and spending money to send traffic there. And so for me, content is really the key part. You can customize your page if you don't have the FBML skills, then you need to focus on status updates, and that's really where you want to have the most time, money, or effort spent on your page, is having great status updates that will get people engaging, fill in the blank, or voting, or commenting on stuff. And giving them a reason to keep coming back. Why are they going to come to your Facebook page and not your Twitter account, not your website, not something else? You know, sort of being relevant to Facebook and your brand and just giving them a little bit of a twist of something that's unique to your Facebook page. And then you can start sending some ad traffic and playing around. They do have a lot of really cool customization for Facebook ads and different ways you can target things and get really specific. So I wouldn't, you know, say don't do Facebook advertising, but make sure that you understand your page and your audience before you start spending money to get a bigger audience. Yeah.
And what could Facebook do to simplify its utility for marketing in the future?
I don't know. Simplify is not what they could do for marketers. The first thing that comes to my mind isn't about simplification, but the analytics that they give you are, and the ad targeting analytics inside of that as well, are unique to marketers. There really isn't any other source for that level of data. And any more they do to improve their analytics, their insights, and then, you know, the sort of research, the market research potential of their ad platform. So essentially, you know, you can go and set up an ad without ever spending any money, basically go through and put in a bunch of different interests and put in geographic targeting or gender targeting or age targeting, and see how many people are on Facebook that have those things, which is a great way to do free, essentially, market research. And so if they take those tools and sort of expand them and make them, you know, easier to use and make them a little more granular data-wise, that's the only source for that kind of information on that scale for marketers, especially at that price point.
Yeah, their analytics on, like, the post-by-post interactions is really interesting. What I would love them to see them do, which would make things so much easier and more fun for users, would be to relax a little bit on their strict rules about promotion and what they give to advertisers. In order to really become a power Facebook marketer, you need to spend $10,000 in advertising with them, which
right.
is not in the realm of possibility for a lot of, especially small businesses. And it's kind of unfair. I understand they have to make money and all that, but it seems like there's a huge threshold that just opens so many doors to you when you start spending big bucks with them. And I think if they could lower that cost or have a smaller package or something like that for small businesses, that they would probably actually make more money and there'd be a lot more fun stuff going on for you.
Well, finally, last question, and we thank you for your great patience this evening as we've hopefully will not know the technical efforts that we went through this evening to make this thing happen. Folks, listen, you can find Allison Zarella and Dan Zarella's new book, The Facebook Marketing Book, in great bookstores pretty much everywhere. Or you can click to order it right now at a great price at MrMedia.com. If you've got the video, let's show it to you one more time. And do you guys want to tell people how to reach you via Facebook or even Twitter, God forbid?
we're on Facebook. There is a Facebook page for The Facebook Marketing Book, which is The FB Marketing Book. I'm on Twitter as Allison, 1L, A-L-I-S-O-N, and then Dan got his whole name because he's not cool enough.
Dan was taken. My Twitter name, at Dan Zarell, there's two R's in the last name. You don't need to know that for hers, but you do need it for mine. Or danzarella.com or allisonzarella.com.
Oh, yeah, I got a website.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff.
All right, cool.
Or just Google.
Well,
you know,
Dan and Allison, congratulations on your recent marriage, and thank you so much for joining us on Mr. Media today. It was very interesting, and it's a fun interview. Thank you.
Now, this is the amazing question. If you could read my thoughts, you'd know you're listening to Mr. Media Radio.